Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach Beis. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Sylvia Nywood Zissel Bas Rev Tzvi Hirsch Michel. All the Shams we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We pick up the Gemara on Samach Beis Amud Aleph, three lines at the top, with the testimony. This is a lashon that's used often when the Tanoim stay over their statements. So Hayid Rav Yossi ben Meshulam. Mishum Rav Yochanan Ochiv. Rav Yossi ben Hamishulam said over in the name of Rav Yochanan, his brother, the following memra. And he had heard this, Sha'ama Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Chisma. That's the Lashon that we have. Some have the Lashon, it should be Rabbi Elazar Chisma, without the word ben. In any event, this was said over in Rabbi Elazar Chisma's name. Ein osin chalas ama oritz bitara. A chover is not permitted to go and take the dough that an ama oritz had worked on. So Mestama, he'd made it Tomei, and go and take off challah from it, the 1/24th that a private person is supposed to take off from his challah and give to the Kohen. If he's a baker, he takes off 1/48th. He's a public baker, so then Chazal said that the shear should be 1/48th, because he's making much more, so we don't make him give so much to the Kohen. But a private person was making a smaller amount of dough, so he has to take off 1/24th. So Rav Elazar Chisma said that we do not allow the chaver to go and take off challah from a dough that the Am Haaretz had worked with, because in this situation, we are concerned that the Kohen will see that a chaver took off the challah and will assume that the challah is in fact tar. But the dough was tummy, so the challah will be tummy as well. So therefore, we don't allow the chaver to go and rectify the problem of that the dough didn't have challah taken off from it by taking off the challah, because it will be mistakenly thought that it is tahar challah when it's in fact tummy challah. That's why he said, Ein osim challah sam aretz betara. However, Aval osim isas chuliyot betara. You are allowed to take the flour from him and make it into a dough, so you can take the dough that wasn't touched yet by the Am Haaretz, take his chulin dough, prepare the entire dough, and then the dough is tahar, then you can take off the challah. And what do you do in that situation? The no-tel emenu kidei challah, you take off the appropriate amount of challah. This is a private person, so you take off 1/24th, and umeinicha b'chfisha o b'anchusa. And you put it in a separate utensil that's not normally used for the placement of challah. Rashi explains that this kefisha and anchusa are in fact worn out leather types of flasks. Rashi, the Ramasa b'chfisha o anchusa says, kelim shel baloi chamaso. So chamas is a flask. So it's a leather type of a flask that's been worn out. Ve'ein regilin litin b'hem isa. It's not normal that you would go put a dough in such a container. V'tumma ein mekabim. And these types of the loy chamasos also don't accept tumma. They don't have the status of being a kli, and they don't accept tumma. So therefore, when you put the tahar chala in this kefisha or amchusa, so what happens is the Am Haaretz will know not to touch. It'll be reminded because it's an unusual type of a container. And as we'll explain more in the Gemara later on, why the Am Haaretz, we don't have to be concerned that he'll touch it. So in this way, the Am Haaretz now takes the kefisha or amchusa that has the challah in it. He takes back the other container that has the rest of the dough in it that now is no longer waiting to have challah taken from it. It's perfectly what we would call chulin dough that anybody can eat. And no telishtein, the Am Haaretz takes both of them. And we don't have to be concerned that this challah that was in the kefisha and amchusa will become touched by the Am Haaretz and become tameh. And the kohen is allowed to eat it betara. Furthermore, the statement continues from Elazar Chisma, the ein osin trumas zeisa betara. If he comes to you already with his zeisim that mistama had been mukshal kabel tuma from the juice that came out of them, and he's touched them, so you can't go and take off trumas from this and give them to the kohen, because the kohen is going to see you, the chaver, taking it off and assume that it's tar. And in fact, it's not tar, and therefore he will make a mistake and eat this when it's really truma that it's tmeya. So therefore, you can't do this. But what you could do is aval osin zeisim chuyav b'tahara. You could start from the very beginning of the process and take his zeisim that are not yet pluck and go and take them before the Am Haaretz has a chance to touch them and make them tame because they're mukshal kabel tuma from the juices that came out of the olive, and go do the entire process so that now you have the olives or the olive oil perfectly betara, and separate from that but no telemeno kidei truma, and take off the truma from these zeisim or the olive oil, or b'nicha b'kelyav shel chaver, and you put it in the kli of a chaver, into the utensils that a chaver uses. We'll explain this more in a moment what this means, but you put it in the utensils of chaver that we assume, therefore, are not tamei, ukishabah amaretz litol. And now the amaretz will want to take back his, let's say, olives, and the truma to give to the kohen, olives. In this situation, no tel shneim, we'll take both of them, And Veinu Choshesh, and he doesn't have to be concerned. We don't have to be concerned in this situation that the Amoritz will go and touch the olives that are Truma, and when he gives them to the Kohen will be able to go and eat them. Now, there are a couple of points I'll make right now before we go further in the Gemara. Number one, here it says you put him into the Kalim of a Chaver. Before we said you put it into a Kfisha or an Chusa. So why do we change around the Lashon? So Tosos, in Dibra Maschel, Umenicha beklel yavshel chaver says nira de lo noka kefisha o amchusa. Why don't we use the same lashon? Lefi shem pshutei kliyets the lo chazul lezeisim. Because according to Tosos, he disagrees with Rashi. He says they weren't worn out flasks made of leather. He says that they were basic pieces of wood that aren't makabel tuma, and therefore they're not going to be something that you want to put something that has juice in it, because the juice will spill out from it, and if it's on a plain pshute kliyets, on a plain piece of wood, it will not be collected and will roll off it or will fall in between the pieces of wood. In any event, therefore, it is not considered appropriate to go put the olives or the olive oil in those types of containers. That's why we switched around to say kel yov shel chavero versus the kvisha and ankhusa. So that's the first point. The Gemara will continue and discuss other points between them. So notice, in both of these cases, you weren't allowed to go just take off the challah or just the truma because it's already tameh, and then a kohen who is a chaver or even a kohen not a chaver is going to be eating challah or truma that it's tameh. So therefore, we don't allow that. But to do the entire process from the start to the finish, we're not choshesh that he'll go and touch the now tar challah or the tar truma that's in the special container. Now, why the time of mine? So Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Kidei Chayav de Gabal, Mishum Kidei Chayav de Badot. So why do we allow you to do this? In the cases where we do allow you to do this, because the person who is in charge of the kneading of the dough, he needs the parnasa. So therefore, we'll allow him to do this for the Amoritz. And the person in charge of the olive press, so he also needs the business, so we'll allow him to do this. In the cases where we allowed it, that's why Kidei Chayav, that he should have parnasa. So the Gemara asks, why do you need two cases? What's the difference between the case of the kneader of the dough, the gavol, and the case of the badad, the one who's pressing the olives? So the Gemara says you need both of them. Because the ashmainun gavol, if you only told me the first case, that the guy is allowed to knead the dough from start to finish of the Amoritz never touched it, and therefore it's done bitara. When he takes off the challah, it's all done bitara. If you told me that case only, I would have said mishum de lo nafish agri, because he makes such a small amount for kneading the dough, so it makes a pittance. And therefore, the guy is a very poor person, and we need to give him parnasa. So therefore, that's why the Rabbanim would make him. However, Avo Badad, the guy that does the olive press, he gets a lot of money for pressing the olives. The Nofish Agri, he makes a guy nice salary. So therefore, Emelo, I would say maybe the rabbis in that situation said, no, don't get the business. So you get business with somebody else, you have enough business because you make enough money. So if you just tell me that case, I know the Badad, so then certainly the Gavol should be good. No, that's not true. Because the reason why we might allow it by the Badad is Mishum Delo Shriachle, because he doesn't have this work all year round. As Rashi says, this type of work is seasonal. As Rashi says, Delo Shriach Lishtaker, he doesn't always have the opportunity to make this nice parnasa when it's there. Kim Mishana Lishana. It only comes once a year with the season of the olives. So therefore, the rest of the year, he needs the money. So now, Baruch Hashem, he finally has a chance to get some work, so we don't want to take it away from him. And therefore, maybe I would have said only the Badad is good, but Avol, Gabal, the Gabal, he has work all the time, the Shriachlei. Therefore, Emelos, even though he doesn't get a lot of money, but he always has the opportunity, so maybe we don't need to give him a special dispensation. So therefore, Tzricha, Kamash Balam, we need both of them. So that's why Rav Elazar Chasba told us both cases. Oh, now let's go back and dissect it a little bit more. On the Mara, we said, no talemenu kidei challah, umenicha bekvisha o benchusa. Well, we said that the gavol is allowed to take it from the very beginning before the Amoritz touched it, and do the entire thing, then take off the challah and put it into the kvisha or the anchusa that aren't makabel tumah, and then ukshuba Amoritz lito, no talishteyem veinu choshes. And the Amoritz will take both of the container, the one that's the challah and the one that is no longer requiring challah to be taken from it. The dough is now chulin, and we're not concerned. Gemara says, why aren't we concerned? Okay, he wants to go and touch the chulin dough, big deal. No problem if it becomes tameh. But the challah, he's going to give that to a kohen. The kohen's going to eat it if it becomes tameh. So then the kohen is eating challah that's tameh. That's not allowed. That's a big isser. So therefore, why aren't we concerned if the Amoritz is going to touch the challah that's in the kvisha or the anchusa? Good question. Shmuel says no, because the Amrina Lev, because we tell the Amoritz, listen, Chazi, you should know. Take a look. E nagatba, if you touch the challah that's in this kvisha or anchusa, Hadrulativla, then it undoes the making it of challah, and therefore it is undone. And now you have tevel, and you obviously don't want to eat this tevel dough. You don't want to eat this dough that didn't have hafreshes challah from it. That much it was machbid on, and therefore you should know that if you touch it, it's going to be a problem. And in fact, let's just think that this is just a sheker, so to say, that they're telling him to make him be careful. The Rambam paskens is la'alocha. The Rambam says that if he, in fact, were to touch it, it undoes the making it into challah. Mistama, the Rambam's understanding is that this is a t'nai, that basin only takes off the challah with the understanding that it's not touched. If it is touched, so then it goes back to being tevel, and it's not challah. So therefore, they tell this to the Am Haaretz, and therefore be very careful. Maybe Gemara says, why don't we say the Am Haaretz? He's not careful about these things, so the Am Haaretz isn't careful. And he says, okay, so if it becomes tevel, it becomes tevel. So maybe we should be concerned about that. Gemara says, no. Hashto litikune kol mechaved. This Am Haaretz gave us the dough to please make it into kosher challah. He wants to be sure the corn will take his challah. So michpat lo ichpat le. Rashi's lashon bismia. Are we really concerned that he's going to go against this? No. He wants it to be good challah for the Kohen, so he will be very careful. He'll tell him this undoes the taking off the challah, so the Am Haaretz will be very careful, and therefore we don't have to have a concern. Oh, so that explains why if the chaver does the entire gibul process before the Am Haaretz touched it, so it's not tummy, so then we can separate challah from it, put it in the kvisha or the anchusa, and give it to the Am Haaretz, and we're not concerned that it'll touch it. He'll give it to the Kohen without being touched, and everything is good. And this container, if you touch it from the outside, it doesn't have a problem, so we're not concerned that it'll touch it from the inside. And likewise, we don't give the Am Haaretz the status of tumah like a zov, like we had the other day, that if you just carry it, it makes it into tumah. The rabbis never gave him that status, and therefore it's only if he actually touches it, and we just pointed out, we're not concerned that he will touch it. Okay. Then we continue and we say, Amar Mar. We said further, Rav Elosu Chisma said, No tell emenu kidei truma uminicha bekeliyav shel chaver, that when you go and take the olives from the very start, you are allowed to do that because the chaver has taken it from the very beginning before the Am Haaretz touches, so it's tahar, and he goes and processes it, he goes and presses it out, and he puts the oil, let's say, or the olives, whatever is left, he puts it into the kli of a chaver. And then, and the Am Haaretz will take it, they'll take the two containers, the one that has the oil that's no longer requiring trumas and maizes from it, it's been taken off, that's chulin, and he'll take the truma in the container of the keli of shel chaver, and he takes them both, and we're not concerned that he'll touch it. Again, the Gemara says, why aren't we concerned that the Am Haaretz went and touched the olives or the olive oil that's in the container of the chaver? So, bishlobo hasam, we said in the case of the challah, because isle akera, he's put it into the special container, the kvisha and chusa that it's not normally put into. So we understand why he won't forget and accidentally touch it. But hacha, in our case over here, my hekera is like, you put it into the utensil, though it belongs to a chaver, so it's tar, but there's nothing recognizable about it. They'll make the Am Haaretz certainly not want to touch it unintentionally. He may forget, and it looks exactly the same, and he'll forget and he'll touch it. Why aren't we concerned about that? So the Gemara says, no, the manachle b'chle glolim, b'chle abanim, b'chle adama. We put it into these types of utensil, a dung utensil, as hard as it is for us to understand, you used to take the dung of an animal, and it would harden, and they would fashion it into a utensil, and they would use that. Or they would take a stone utensil, or a earthenware, before they forged it in the fire, to make it into a klicheris, they just took dirt, and they fashioned it into a utensil. So all of these utensils have the capacity, so to say, not to be mekabel tumah. They don't get tumah. And therefore, even if the Am Haaretz touches it, so it touches it on the outside, it won't make it tumah, and it's such an unusual thing to put it into, so remember, and therefore, this is like the equivalent of the kvisha or the anchusa. Where it says, if that's so, ihachi, my irya de chaver, afilu the Am Haaretz nami. So why do we have to bad dafka put it into the clay glolim, the clay avonim, the clay adama of a chaver? If it's not makabel tumah, so you could take it the kalim of the Am Haaretz, the clay galalim, clay avonim, clay adama. Why did the dafka say the kalim shall chaver? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's what we really said. Hachanami kama. That's what we meant when we said the kalim shall chaver. It meant the kalim shall Am Haaretz haru'uyin lishtamesh ben chaver. We put it into utensils that an Am Haaretz has that are even good for a chaver because they're not makabel tumah. So therefore, there's no concern. And again, as I pointed out, Rashi says that we didn't give the Am Haaretz the status of being like a zav. So therefore, the utensil itself, just by carrying it, is not going to be a problem. Okay. Then we quote the next part of the Mishnah. It said, Machzikini de'ovdei kol chavim b'shviyis. we are allowed to assist the Ovi Kochav Mishriya. So when I explained this in the Mishnah, I said both pshatim that we're going to have here in the Gemara, the first one we're going to reject, and that is, does it mean that you're actually allowed to go and help the Ovi Kochav and plow his field during the Shemitah year? So we'll see that that's not true. And that's what the Gemara asks. Machzikin, are you allowed to actually go and literally plow with him, assist him in doing the actual work? From Rav Dimi Bar Shishna, Mishmei the Rav, Rav Dimi Bar Shishna said over the name of Rav, that ain't Odrin, even though it's the guy's land, so he owns it, and therefore there's no din of Shemitah for him, but you're not allowed to help him go and plow that land. You're not allowed to Odir hoe that land with the guy during the Shemitah year. And likewise, you're not even allowed to vein kofu and shalom lo v'kochav. You're allowed to say shalom, as we said. That's what it means, machzikin, as we'll explain in a minute, but you can't double up on it. So he won't be insulted, and there won't be eva, hatred, if you wish him shalom. But the normal way is to even say it in a very enthusiastic, shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem. So we don't say it twice. So that's what Rav Dimi Bar Shishna said in the name of Rav. So how can you possibly have the Havamina to think that you're allowed to actually go and hoe with him, to go and plow with him? So what says, you're right, 100%. Lo tzricha. That's absolutely not the case. L'meimra l'hu, achazuku bi'alma. When we said in the Mishnah, it means machzik, and it doesn't mean that you can actually can take a plow with him and assist him in the plowing. It meant you're allowed to say, yashikayach, good luck, I hope you do well over there. Achazuku bi'alma. It's to give him chizuk, so to say, as we... But Rashi points out, when you pass by a worker who's working, you say, hey, do a good job, I'm proud of you, or something like that. So you give him strength, you give him chizuk. That's what it means, machazikin. So the guy is allowed to work, he doesn't have a problem, and you're allowed to say, oh, good luck, you're working so hard, it looks so nice, etc., etc. That you're allowed to do. And we have a ma'aseh shoya, ki ha de Rav Yehuda. When Rav Yehuda Amalhu would go past by one of these workers, he would tell him, Achazuku. He would say, Yashikayach. He would say, be strong, go and do the work. Similarly, Rav Sheshes Amalhu Asharta. Rav Sheshes would tell him to him, Yashikayach. The Lashon of Asharta, Rashi says, is also a Lashon of Chizuk. So in other words, it's like Yashikayach. You're allowed to tell him, do a good job, I'm proud of you, and give him verbal compliments that you're allowed to do, but you're not allowed to actually go and help him do it. That's not what Machzikin means. Machzikin means just verbally, but not actually assisting him. Then Rav Dimi Bar Shishna said the name of Rab. We've quoted this before. Ein kofum shalom aleichem chav. You said you're not allowed to go and double up and say shalom aleichem to him. So another comment from Rav Chista on this. Rav Chista mocked him the yor lu shalom. Rav Chista would go and bedavka go and wish them shalom first, because the custom was that when you wish somebody shalom, so they wish back to you shalom shalom. So they would say it twice. So he would go out of his way to be the first one to go say it to them, so he shouldn't have to go and be machzik the ovi kochavim in his work by saying shalom to him twice. And this way he would chop it and go say it first. Others explain, no, he would always rush to go and say shalom aleichem, like I pointed out when we in yesterday's shiur, the famous story of Yaakov Kamenetsky, that a person should always go and say shalom to other people, be the first one to say shalom to somebody. Sometimes you're walking in a neighborhood and everybody greets you and everybody says hello. In another neighborhood, sometimes it's not that way. You walk by people after people after people and nobody says Shabbos to you, nobody says shalom aleichem to you. So one should always rush to go and be the first one to go and say shalom aleichem. Rav Kahana Amalei, Rav Kahana would say to the person, Shlomo Lemar, he would say, peace be unto you, to the master. Now, it looked like to the guy that he was saying it to him, but he was actually saying it, Rashi says, V'lohia miskavin levarcho, he wasn't actually thinking of this non-Jewish person, Ella libo haya l'rabo, he was saying, my Rebbe should have shalom. So it sounded like he was saying to that person, but his intention was towards his Rebbe. And this way, he would get around the problem of giving shalom to this person. Tosos doesn't like this. Tosos, the bottom Tosos, Shamul Amar, would say, Pirish Bukuntris, Loyal Miskadim, Lavarcho, El Libo, El Rabo, says, Vitzorchian. He says, wait a second, how could that be? Shaloye Bezeh, Gone Da Sabrios. This person thinks that the Yid is saying Shalom Aleichem to him. But if you're not really saying it to him, it's like you're cheating him. It's like you're stealing from him. Now, Tosa says, Valchinam Pirish Kane. He says, I don't know where Rashi even gave that explanation. The low karma elo de ain't kofel no shalom. Because the whole statement of Rav Dimi Bar Shishna, the name of Rav, was that you can't double up on the shalom. But why can't you say shalom to him one time? So he says, I don't know where Rashi explained it that way. Now, the Chasam Sofer explains Rashi, and he says, Rashi was working with the understanding that you're only allowed to say this over here because of Eva, of concerns that if you don't say hello to the guy, they're going to go and attack you. And he says, therefore, there is no problem with Gnevis Das in that situation. And he brings a nafkamina from Daniel. Daniel called the Vuchanetzer Malka, the king, the great king, when He wasn't really referring to Nebuchadnezzar, he was referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So likewise, he was gonev his das there. And Yaakov bowed down to Esav. He wasn't really bowing down to Esav. So therefore, you're allowed to be gonev the das when is the concern of Eva. Okay, so that's the Chasam Sofer understanding of Rashi, where Rashi said what he did. Okay, we go right there. The Gemara says, Bishoalim Bishloman, we said in our Mishnah that you're allowed to go and ask them in general, how are you doing? It's a nice idea, very good thing to go and ask the guy, how are you? Say hello to them. Now the Gemara says, Hashto Achzuke Machzikinon, Shalim Bishloman Mibaya. We just said that you're allowed to wish them a Yashakayach when they're doing their work. So if you can wish them a Yashakayach when doing their work, so certainly you can say hello to them. So what's the Chiddush over here? So Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says the Chiddush is, Lo Nitzucha Ela L'Yom Chagam, that even on the day of their Chagah, on the day of their holiday, we are allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to them. We're not concerned in this situation that he's going to say, wow, a Yid said hello to me on today. It's my good day. It must be my God who's the day of his Avodah Zarah. He's making the Jews say hello to me. And therefore, he's going to go thank his God. No, we don't have to be concerned about that. That's what Rav Yehuda explains on Mishnah. And I'll show you that this is right, the Tanya, because we learned the Braisa. It says, Lo yikonis adam leveiso shalom yikochav miyom chago. You're not allowed to go and enter into his house on the day of his Chagah, on the day of his holiday, and wish him Shalom. He shouldn't give him Shalom, because he's going to thank his God. Wow, my deity over here. Look, the Jew came all the way in to say hello to me. Oh, it must be because you're such a great God. Now, if you find a guy in the Shuk, Bitzal B'Shuk, so then you can say hello to him. But you should do it with like a quiet voice. Don't say hello with soft or rough, but with a quiet voice, B'Chovid Rosh, and with dignity, with more solemnity than you normally would. In other words, he's not going to go thank his deity, he's not going to thank his idol. Whoa, the Jew said this to me, because the Jew didn't make such a big deal out of it. Oh, it's not going to be Abel, because the Jew said hello to him. A little bit, I thought this is like on Tisha B'Av morning, which is of course coming up, that we don't wish on Tisha B'Av night, and on Tisha B'Av morning, we don't say hello to people. If they do say hello to you, somebody doesn't know that halacha, so you're allowed to respond back to them quietly. So there shouldn't be Abel, it should be hatred between one year and another. Oh, I'll go back, I didn't say hello to me. So the answer is, you shouldn't say hello. But if somebody says hello to you, so you can respond back to them, it'd be a sofer rofa b'chovid rosh. So it's a similar idea on Tisha B'Av. Okay. Another ma'isa, Rav Huna Rav Chisda v'yasvei. Rav Huna Rav Chisda were sitting together, the cholef azul geniva. And then the amoru geniva comes along. Now, we've mentioned geniva already twice in this masechta with the same exact story. And the Mefarshim was saying, this is all going on at the same time. Each time they give us a little piece of the conversation that happened. Now, geniva had gotten into a machlokis with Marukva, and he was giving Marukva a hard time. We had on Daf Vav that Marukva questioned, what is he supposed to do? Geniva's giving him a hard time. In any event, we see that, unfortunately, geniva was a bar palga, as we'll see. He was causing a machlokis with Marukva. So, in any event, Rav Huna and Rav Chisda are sitting there, and they're learning with Stama, and Geneva comes by. So, Amar Lei Chad Chavrei, either Rav Huna said to Rav Chisda, or Rav Chisda said to Rav Huna, let us stand up. Neikam, we should stand up. Mikamei, Debar Oryanu, we should stand up in front of this great Talmud Chacham, Geneva. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He's a Ben Torah, as Rashi says. So, we should stand up for him. So, the other one said, Amar Lo, Umikamei, Palgo, Neikam, we should stand up in front of the guy that's causing machlokis, as Rashi brings down in Palgo. Cholik al Chachamim, with Marukva, showing Mitzaru le Marukva, he caused a lot of difficulties to Marukva, who was the Abbasin. And we learned over here on Dav Zayin Omer Aleph, and it's a problem. So therefore, maybe we shouldn't stand up for him. So, in any event, doesn't say whether they stood up for him or not. Adachi also iulugabayu. Geneva comes over to them. Amalu, he says to them, Shalma alaychu malche, Shalma alaychu malche. He repeats this twice. And he calls them kings. He says, Shalom Aleichem to you kings, Shalom Aleichem to you kings. So they're somewhat surprised. And Amulei, they said to Geneva, Minaloch, the Rabbanon Ikru Melachim, where do you see that we should be called kings because we're Tamidei Chacham, because we're Rabbanim? Where do we find that Tamidei Chacham are called Melachim? So Amulei tells them, it's a Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Amalahu, Dechsev, Bi Melachim Yimlochu V'gomer. So, the Torah is given through the Malachim, through the kings. In other words, Tamidei Chachamim, who are knowledgeable in Torah, so they refer to as kings. Ah, so that's the source. Then they ask him again, Amulei, we know lon de kaflinon shlomo lemalche, and why did you repeat it twice? So we know, B'losh ben Yodim, that shows enthusiasm. Where's the source that you should say it twice to us? Shalom Aleichem twice. So Louis says, also possible. Yom Rav Yudam Rav. Yudam Rav said, Minayin Shekofum Shalom Umelech. Where do we see that when you greet the king, you should say Shalom to him twice? Shenamar. As the apostle with Divya Yom tells us, Shenamar, V'ruach lovsho es ha-mosai rosh ha-sholishim v'gomer. And as we often have, the v'gomers were put in by the editors. They didn't want to write the whole pasuk. They wrote v'gomer, but it's from the end of the pasuk where it says v'gomer that the answer is. And you can see this on the side of the Gemara, in the Masoreh Sashas, where it brings down that the rest of the pasuk says, L'cha David, v'imcha ben Yishai, shalom, shalom l'cha. So, therefore, the end of the pasuk is that we want to be with you, David ben Yishai, and shalom, shalom. So, therefore, we see this double lashon. Ah, nu, then they tell Geneva, Amrilei, nu, you want to join us for a meal, Lito Marmidi, you want to sit down and join us? So, Amalu, we told them. Now, Mustama, he hadn't yet fed his animals. So, he told them, Hochem Arvudam Rav. Another statement that I learned from Yudam Rav is that, Asalo Liadim Shiitom Klum, a person is not allowed to eat anything until he feeds his animals. You don't have the right to be putting them through Tzar Bali Chayim. If they're hungry, you have to go and feed them first. Because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, famous Pasuk, from Shema, first you shall go give the grass to your animals to eat. And then, only afterwards, then you can go and eat yourself. So, he was telling them, Mustama, he hadn't yet fed his animals. He said, I'd love to sit down and eat with you, but first I got to feed my animals, then maybe I'll come back and join you later on. Now, it's interesting, the halach is brought down by the Magen Avraham, Chasam Sofer, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, is that that's only in terms of food. You have to feed your animals before you feed yourself. However, in terms of drinking, which is such an essential thing for a human being, so to take a drink of water, and your animals are thirsty, so you're allowed to take the water first, and then give it to your animals. And we see this out from the famous story of Rivka. She says, stay, you drink, v'gam gmalecha eshke. Rivka said, first you drink, and then I'll go give your camels to drink. So we see, in regards to drinking, you're allowed to drink first. In regards to eating, you have to feed your animals first. Hadron lecha nizokin, hadron lecha nizokin, hadron lecha nizokin. This is the fifth perek hanizokin that we now finish, and we go to the sixth perek, as we turn to Samach Beis Omud Beis, and this perek is known as HaOmer Hiskabel Get Zel Ishti. Now, that's the girsa that we have. That's the Bavli in the Yerushalmi, as in the current editions, as the top Tosus tells us, Yerushalmi Ton Hiskabel, this perek called HaOmer Hiskabel, this perek is found after Hanizokin. So the fifth perek was Hanizokin, the sixth perek in the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli says we have them existence, is that HaOmer Hiskabel comes next. And then the seventh parak would be Misha Ochazu. He says this is Rabbeinu Tam Shita as well. Danizokin, this parak, the fifth parak, Hanizokin, Tana Basar Hasholeach. That came after the fourth parak, Hasholeach. Why? Mishum Da'iri, B'mili, Da'habia, B'nei Tikkun Olam. Because that parak, the fourth parak, dealt with a lot of things for Tikkun Olam. So the fifth parak also deals with a lot of things that are Mishum Tikkun Olam, Mishum Shalom Bayis, Mishum Shalom and harmony and peace. So therefore, that's why they're in this order. And now we'll return back to what we were talking beforehand, the Ayri Mishlechos. And therefore, that's why this sixth parak, Homer Iskabel, comes down. Rashi, as can be seen in the Gemara later on Daf Ayin Aleph Omud Beis, in the Ramaskul Taima, disagrees. He says that no, this parak actually comes after the next parak, and that the parak that should be over here is Misha Ochazu. But for whatever the reason, normally the printers went with Rashi. Here they follow the opinion that is brought down by Tosos, the Yerushalmi, and the standard Bavli editions have this as a sixth parak, and that's what we will learn. That's what the Daf Yomi learns now, the parak of HaOmer Hiskabel. So let us begin. HaOmer, if a person says, Hiskabel get zelishti, he goes and tells a person, go and accept this get on behalf of my wife. Now, he can't make a get likabola for the man's wife. He can't do that. He can't do that. He doesn't have the rishus to do so. So what it's really going to be telling us, as we'll learn in the Gemara, is go give this get to my wife. Or if he says, oh, holech get zelishti, or go and take this get and give it to my wife. So until the wife actually receives the get, whichever lashon he used over here, until the wife actually gets the get, im ratzo lachzor yachzor, the Baal has the right, at least me the araisa, to go back and retract his giving of the get, as long as the wife hasn't gotten it. So even though the shaliach then gives it to her, she's not considered divorced. Now, because this could lead to a tremendous takala, we learned previously, and we'll learn again, that the rabbi said, no, we don't allow this. You can't go and retract. You can't be yachzar, because this could lead to a terrible takala. The guy doesn't like his wife, and he wants her to think that she's divorced, and she'll act like she's divorced, she'll get married again, and then he'll come back and say, hey, I retracted the get, and therefore you weren't really divorced, and therefore you committed adultery, and your children were mamzerim, and ha, I got you. So the rabbi said, you can't do this. But min ha-daraisa, min ha-din, as long as the wife hasn't received the get, the husband can retract it, even if neither she knows, or the shaliach who gave it to her knows. That's the din d'oraisa. Again, as I point out, the rabbanon, we don't allow this. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Imratzo lachso yachso. Now, but if the woman sent the person, the shaliach, on behalf of the woman to go and accept the get, so then as soon as the husband gives it to that person, knowing that that is the shaliach for the wife, then he can't retract it because she's already divorced, and he can't retract it once she's divorced. No, if he doesn't want to divorce her right now, he doesn't want this to occur right now, he wants it to occur at some point later in time, so maybe he can think about still retracting it. So lefikach, therefore, if the Baal says that it's shaliach who's acting on behalf of the wife, no, I'm not letting you act as a shliach on behalf of the wife. Evshi shetikabala, I do not want you to accept it for her. However, elo holech b'seila, I am allowing you to go be my shliach, and you go give it to her. I want her to get the get directly. So then, in rotzalatzu yachzu, in that situation, he still has the right, at least in the right, to go and retract before she actually gets the get from the person that she originally was making a shliach lekabala, but the husband turned it around and made him a shliach leholocha. And therefore, in this situation, Rotzon Lasso Yasu, he still could go and retract. Now, Rav Shimon Galil adds, Rav Shimon Galil Omer, Av Homeres, even if the woman were to tell somebody, Toli Gitti, go and get my get for me. In other words, you be a Shaliach LeKabbalah, in Rotzalazar lo yachzar. In that situation, as soon as the husband gives that person the get, even though she said, go and get the get for me, it's as if she is telling him to be the Shaliach LeKabbalah, and in that situation, the husband can no longer retract once that shaliach gets the get in his possession, and we'll see more about this in the Gemara. Gemara starts off and says, let us go and answer a question that we had on Daf Yodalit Omid Aleph, where we had a question is, holech kisri domi, or holech lav kisri domi? When the husband says, go and take this, does it mean that he wants it to be acquired, or is it, no, he's saying, just go and take it to her, and only when she gets it, is it going to be an acquisition? So that machlokis that we had on Daf Yedalid, the Gemara wants to now suggest we can answer from our Gemara. So Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avi Le Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha, who is the son of Rav Avi, said to Rav Ashi, Taima, let's look at our Mishnah. And our Mishnah says, the lo shevise yi shaliach lekabala. Since in the first part of the Mishnah, when he said, Eskabel get zet liishti, he wasn't making a shaliach lekabala. It must be, since he's still allowed to retract, that he's really making that person to a shaliach leholacha. Since she didn't make the shaliach, the lo shivisi yihi shaliach lekabala, since the wife didn't make the man into a shaliach, so therefore, the husband can still retract, because the wife didn't get the get yet. However, that implies, ha shivisi yihi shaliach lekabala, if she, of course, sends somebody to be the shaliach lekabala, so then, Rotzalasa lo yachzor, as we pointed out, you're not allowed to be yachzor in that situation. What do we see from here? Rav Acha b'Rei, the Rav Avia wants to tell Rav Ashi, Shma mina holech kitzchi domi. You see from here that if he says, holech, go and take this, it means go and acquire this. Since the husband is no longer allowed to retract in this situation, when he said holech, it means not only give it to her, but go and acquire it for her. So let's bring a proof to the answer. Holech kitzchi domi. Where it says lav dafka lo. Lo lo meim lo, because we could say holech lav chisri dami. Yo, it could work according to the opinion says holech lav chisri dami. Aye, then what's the case over here? It needed to be teaching us not the holech part, but to teach us this skabel get zeliishti part. So it had to be holech to be telling us what hiskabel get zeliishti means. What do we mean? Because when the person says hiskabel get liishti, that might have been thought the solka daitu chaminoch. Since the husband can't appoint a shliach lekabala for his wife, only she can appoint a shliach lekabala. So therefore, when he says his skabo get zeh liishti, one might have thought, even though the get eventually does come to her hand, lo lehave gita, it's not a valid get because he didn't say give it to her. She just basically took the get, even though he said his gabel get zeh liishti, he used the wrong lashon. So I might have thought that that's no good. Kamash v'lan. No. This gabel v'holech kamar. It meant his gabel v'holech. And therefore, you can't bring me right to holech kizchi dami. No. It's the raya over here for holech is to tell me that his gabel v'holech. And that's the chiddush of the reisha, but nothing to do with the machlokas and daf yudalit of holech kizchi dami or holech lav kizchi dami. Try again. Still trying to bring a raya. Tonight we learned in our Mishnah, it said, Oyisha Sharmat Skabali Giti, in Ratzalazal Yatza. But if the woman made him into a Shliach Likabala, so then, as soon as that Shliach Likabala gets it, so then, the husband can no longer retract because the woman is considered divorced. Now, my lav, doesn't this seem to imply whether he said lo shno akabala, lo shno aholacha? Wouldn't it apply in both cases, whichever lashon was used, implying therefore halacha is kisri dami? Where says no, the obvious answer, lo akabala. It's only in the case of kabbalah where the woman said, go and accept the get on my behalf. In that situation, she's divorced. But if she used any other lashon, if she used a lashon of holach, so then lav kisri dami, we couldn't bring a raya. Let's try again. Toshma, we learned at the end of the Mishnah, it said, Lefikach, if the person wanted still, the husband wanted still retain the right to go and retract the get, at least on a deraisa level, so then when the wife said, be the shleach lekabbalah, and she sends this person to go and accept the get, the husband can say, no. Lefikach, imar melo habal, the husband says to the shleach, yev shishit lekabbalah, I do not want you to be the shleach lekabbalah, I'm not giving it to you, but I'll make you into the shleach lelocha, elaholich v'tenla, so then ratzalatzal yachzu, then he can do that, he turns the tables and makes him into a shleach lelocha, rather than a shleach lekabbalah, he has the right to do so, and therefore he can still retract until it comes into a possession. Now, taima, the reason that he's allowed to retract is the Amar Yeshu, because I do not want you to act as a shliach lekabbalah. Implication being, hello Amar Yeshu, if he didn't say that, so then, in Rotzalasu lo yatzo, he shouldn't be able to go and retract, because, shma mina, holech hischi dami. Since he said in this situation, elo holech v'teinlo, so holech means, holech kischi. So if he didn't say the part about Yeshu to the Kabbalah, and he just said holech v'teinlo, so then, holech means kischi, and therefore asked and answered, is holech kisri or lav kisri, holech kisri dami. So when it says, no, dilma behelach. Here in the second part, who says that he says holech? It may have been that he said helach. Go means this get is your get. In other words, this shaliach is in fact going to be accepting the get. And that's why he can't be chozer in that situation. What's with achzor? Lo yachzor. Okay, so we don't resolve. That's why the Gemara on Yudalit didn't bring our Gemara. We can't resolve the question, holach kisri dami or holach lav kisri dami from our Gemara. Gemara continues and says the following interesting question. Ripshita, it's clear and obvious that ish have a shliach halacha, that a man can assign another man to be the shliach for halacha, specifically a man, because shekain baal molach get lishto, if a man can bring the get to his wife, so mistama, he can make a shliach who's a man to bring the get to his wife. And likewise, v'isha havi shaliach lekabbalah. A woman can assign a woman to be her shaliach lekabbalah because just like she can't isha mekabelas gita miyad bala, so she can ask another woman to accept the get on her behalf. So again, we have a man can make a man a shaliach to go and bring the get, and a woman can make a woman a shaliach to accept the get. The Gemara says ish lekabbalah. But what about the other way around? If a man were to make a woman as the shliach laholacha, or if a woman were to make a man as the shliach lekabbalah, does that work? Now Rashi has in Dibur Matzul, ifcha mai. He doesn't have the lashon ish kabbalah v'ish laholacha. He has the word, it's four lines into the wide lines of the Rashi. He has the girsa ifcha mai. So he's saying the question goes as follows. Mi amrinu, do we say, kivon dehu atzmo lav bar kabbalahu, since the man can't accept a get, only the woman can accept the get. So shar zuchar nami lo b'nei kabbalah nidu. So maybe the din is only women can accept the get, either the woman herself, the wife herself, or her woman shaliach. And the same thing would apply, since a man can give a get, so a man can ask a man to give a get. But who says that a man can ask a woman to go and deliver a get? That's the way Rashi understands this. Ish lekabbalah, v'ish lelocha mai. How do we know that the opposite over here, that a man making a woman and a woman making a man to be their respective shalichos, lelocha lekabbalah, how do we know that that works? So where it says, let's learn the answer from our Mishnah. Toshma, it said in our Mishnah, Omer iskabo get zeh liishti, if the husband told someone, go and accept this get for my wife. In other words, go bring this get to my wife. Holach gets at least you. Go bring this get to my wife. So he can go and retract until she gets it. And it said, Ha'isha shal miskavalei giti. The woman said to someone, go and accept my get for me. So then the husband can't go if he gives the get to that shaliach, who's a shaliach lekabbalah, he can't go retract it anymore. Now, my love, b'chad shaliach, aren't we talking here about the same shaliach? Ushmamino, koshal lekabbalah, koshal lelocha. So the man and the woman are both assigning the same person over here. So, obviously, it's either a man or a woman. So, can't we see from here that the person of the other gender is also acceptable as a shliach? Who says it's the same shliach? The husband is talking about a man, and the woman, the wife, is talking about a woman. So, lav davka, we can't answer our question from there. Try again. Toshma, keep on going in our mission. It said, lufikach, when the woman assigned the shliach to be a shliach Kabbalah, and the husband said, no, I don't want you to be a shliach Kabbalah, that same shliach, he says, I want you to be the shliach Lahalacha. So, lefikach, if she should Kabbalah, if he says, I do not want you to go be the shliach Kabbalah, Ella, holech v'tela, but you be the shliach Lahalacha, in Ratz or Lach, so yeah, so it works, but it only works when she gets it. And until then, he can retract. Now, what do you see? V'ha'hacha, v'chad shliachu. Whatever gender this shliach is, it's the same shliach that's now originally a shliach l'kabbalah, and now is a shliach l'halacha. Oh, shmamina, kosher l'kabbalah, kosher l'halacha. So therefore, a man can assign a woman, and a woman can assign a man to be their respective shlichim. So the Gemara says, lav dafka. Shmamina, you can only learn from here, ish havi shliach l'kabbalah. Maybe we can learn from here that a man can certainly be a shliach l'halacha, but only a man can also be the shliach l'kabbalah. A woman can't be both. She could only be a shliach l'kabbalah, but maybe you could see from here that a woman can't be the shliach l'halacha. Why? If you have to pick one, why do you pick the man? Because shekein av mekabel get lebito kitana. Because we do find that a man, under certain circumstances, can accept the get. When he marries off his daughter as a kitana, and the man divorces her, she's a little kitana, so the husband is divorcing the woman by giving the get to her father. She's a ketana, gives the get to the father. So we see under this rare circumstance that the man can be a shliach like Kabbalah. So over here, where we see it's chad shliachu, we have a choice of saying it's a man or a woman. It makes sense to say that it's a man who's acting as the shliach like Kabbalah originally for the woman, and now as the shliach l'loch for the man. But lab davka, how do you know the other way around it works as well? Isha lo lichoti boyaloch. My, we still have the question, can a woman be a shliach l'halacha? Yeah, a shliach, obviously the Kabbalah, yes, but how do we know that a woman can be a shliach l'halacha? So Mar gives us two answers. So Amar says, Toshma, we can learn it from a different Mishnah, a Mishnah that we had early in the Masechta, where it said, Af anoshim she'ein emonus lomar meiz bala emonus lovi ez gita. Remember, we had those five women who were always suspected of wanting to cause trouble to the wife. They had a personal reason. We went through this and I won't go through it now. They had a personal vendetta, potentially, that they wouldn't want the wife to be happy in marriage for financial or personal reasons. And therefore, those special five women, well, some sort of a relative with her, a pseudo-relative with her, so they may go and not say that the woman's husband had died because they're out together and he's really alive still, so they're not believed to say that Meis Bala. Everybody else, single woman, is believed to say Meis Bala, but not these five women. But nevertheless, those five women, their manos lahavi is gita, they can be a shliach le'alacha. Ah, so Ramari says, that's what we see, that a woman can be a shliach le'alacha. From Daf Chof Gimel. V'asam halachli. That was a shliach le'alacha. So that's the first answer. Second answer, I'm Ravashi, miseifa na mishmamino. We can learn it from the seifa of that Mishnah as well. Miseifa na mishmamino. Because the Tani Sefer says in the seifa of that Mishnah, ha'isha atzma mevias gita. The woman itself can be the shliach l'halacha for her own get. As long as she says, well, that she tzricha lomai, b'fani nechtam, as we brought down, she can be the shliach l'halacha for whatever reason. Husband wants to divorce her over there. He wants to divorce her in Eretz Yisrael. So she can take the get from chutz l'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. As long as she says, b'fani nechtam, no problem. And that was told that she was a shliach l'halacha. Shmami no. We see from here, Ravashi says that a woman can be both the shliach l'kabbalah, certainly, and even the shliach l'halacha. Bottom line is, we see from both of these proofs, l'halacha l'maisa, the husband can make a man or a woman to be the shliach l'halacha, and a woman can make a man or a woman to be the shliach l'kabbalah. This is a good break point. I know we didn't go to the bottom of the dot, but with the two dots over here, it's a good break point where this will conclude today's share.